So transactions are not instantaneous. They're not a conveyor belt of transactions that go by. These are connections that, without a doubt, if you're not building the kind of relationship that brings referrals from that client, you're doing it wrong. And with that,
welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup, the podcast where real estate meets reality. I'm your host, Steve Tytler, coming to you with 4 decades of experience in the trenches of real estate and the mortgage business. Today, we're diving deep into the tools, tips, and trends that make the industry tick. Join us as we unpack the secrets to success in real estate, share expert advice, and spotlight the innovators who are shaping our industry. Let's get started. Welcome to the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. I'm with Mitchell Kaim, a very successful Seattle realtor. And Mitchell, welcome to the show.
Steve, thank you for having me today.
We're recording this at the very end of April 2024. How do you see the market right now in your area?
So the market is adjusting favorably, in my opinion, to, I think, an element that is a direct result of what happened during COVID. So let's talk about that for just a moment. Fear has always been a part of the natural existence and certainly in home buying. But there's been an unnatural, or if you please, an exaggerated sense of fear. When I say exaggerated, what I mean by that is that it's not tangible. So there are fears that are tangible, that are recognizable, and then there are the type of fear that's not tangible. It tends to be a little bit more mystical, if you will, emotional. And that, since COVID, has impacted how the buyer and the seller thinks about the housing market. And so what I'm seeing now is there's always been caution. I think there's more optimism now, even though the rates are higher than we would like. And yet there's enough information in the marketplace to see that those will eventually come down a quarter, half a point, probably by the end of the year. But the most important thing is the fear factor. Should I do it now? What does that look like? What's that extrapolate to in terms of the budget, especially when we have the inflation numbers that we do? So from my perspective, what I'm seeing in the marketplace are more intelligent buyers. They have more information at their fingertips. And now the challenge is just to take the information that the buyer and the seller is getting and to extrapolate that to something that makes sense for them, and to really help them to understand the marketplace and what those numbers look like. The balance is always going to be about the emotion of the buyer or the selling experience and the non-emotional, the rational part of the financing or the numbers. And that's important. So I see that it's positive. I'm optimistic about it. That optimism, if it's understood based on what we're seeing, is easily translatable to both the buyer and seller in our marketplace.
Now, I know you do a lot of buyer-side transactions.
So I do.
What are the biggest obstacles that you're running into with buyers right now?
It's the number. We're looking for one of the main reasons why we move from renting to purchasing is that static, predictable number. And it's the concern that the consumer has, the buyer in this case, as to what that number looks like because of the interest rate. It's an easy conversation to have when we understand our market and the uniqueness of our market as it stands in contradistinction or juxtaposed to the national market, just simply because of the increase of equity and because the losses of equity that we've seen were probably among the nation's lowest. We're always going to have a strong market here. And for that, we see that concern about what does that number look like. This is a common adage within the real estate market. We date the rate and we marry the home. In our market, it's very much about positioning the clients to understand what their needs are. They're going to have a list of about 10 things. And if they don't know, and they're first-time home buyers, it's very important to take them on a journey, not a long journey, but on a journey of 4 to 6 different properties so that they can really formulate and solidify within their own mind what their specific needs are. Our goals are to check about 8 of those 10 things and keep them in the position that when they see it, because homes will speak to you, and when it speaks to them that you're in a position to secure the property, given the market conditions at that moment, and have a strong enough offer, that everybody's willing to make the signature to and sign on to.
Well, that's great. I'm in the mortgage business, and I've always advised my clients when buying a house to make a list, like you said, and I say, make a list of everything you have to have, everything you'd like to have, and everything you do not want to have, because if you have that list, it helps you overcome the emotion, because it's easy to talk yourself into a house in the excitement of the moment, and then later you regret it because it has one of your do not want things on the list. So do you have them make a list like that?
I do, and we go over that together, and it's really part of the experience, the overall experience, because what you're able to do now is to understand the client as something more than just another transaction, that you're understanding where they're at intellectually and their psyche, because that's all part of the process. And then you're able to refine how you can speak to them, and then your value to them becomes tangible and real. So transactions are not instantaneous. They're not a conveyor belt of transactions that go by. These are connections that, without a doubt, if you're not building the kind of relationship that brings referrals from that client, you're doing it wrong. And what that means is we're going through the motions. Oh, we're speaking too mechanically about the process. We very much have to understand their concerns, understand their direction. And what we're doing in this process, for all intents and purposes, is understanding, correcting, advising, and leading. Never at any point in the process are we, if we're doing our duty, fiduciary, and other responsibilities to our clients, giving up control of the process. And the control of the process singularly comes by who asks the questions. The moment you're answering questions instead of asking questions, you've lost control of the direction. And when you get to spiral down that vortex, you have difficulties, you're showing 20 times, you're losing confidence, and you don't understand the next thing to do. One quick caveat here. It's difficult to know what's beyond, but you're skilled when you can articulate what's beyond. And that's why the process is important. You must engage with them, understand, and then know what to touch and when to touch. So here's the rule. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And we find this on the seller's side, where the seller is transfixed on a number that they want or they think they have to have. And it's your job to help them to understand at the right moment and at the right time what the real number is, and to create the confidence that the number that they're going to get is the right number. You don't see that as much on the buyer's side, but that is also part of the journey. And if you're not understanding that it is, in fact, a relationship where I'm gathering information and understanding what they're saying by saying, I just heard you say, and then taking the inflated expectations of both buyer and seller, bringing it back to reality, and then giving that to them with the kind of security and confidence that you're going to lead them to the stated end, you will have the referrals that are necessary to be a long-term business owner in the real estate market.
Well, it's obviously why you're so successful at this, because you understand the emotional part of the equation. It's not just dollars and cents, especially first-time homebuyers, because they're very excited and also very scared, and they need a guide, someone like you who can guide them through that process.
The terra firma under new buyers is always unsettling and insecure. They don't know what to expect. And there's the process that has to happen. We're giving them data. We can't do data dump. And with all of the new statutory laws and what's coming, we have to have the conversations early and often. And we have to understand their ability to absorb the information. So we have to know the fine line about giving them exactly what they need and understanding that can be saved for the next conversation. So it's the art and the skill, the homiletics, if you will, in understanding basic human psychology, which is common to us all, and then really being invested in the people in front of you And it really has to move away. Now more than ever, it must move away from transactional to become more personal. And as you know, in the real estate industry, especially coming out of 19 and 20 and 21, it was transactional because everybody is buying, overbuying, and getting into the golden handcuffs of 3% mortgage rate. So we didn't refine or understand or perhaps forgot that we're in the people business and we just happen to be bringing them to their home.
That's a great line. You mentioned the changes in buyer's agency. Let's talk about that. The state law starting this year, you have to have a signed buyer's agency agreement. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's something that we've always done within our group, co-founders and Lifestyle Living of Washington with eXp. But it's important to, in the process of communicating value, if you're working for free, you will look at, be viewed as and looked at as free. And we don't work for free. And I've sat with younger real estate agents and the process or the conversation leads to, how do I get paid? Well, I work for free. Well, the moment you say that, you've devalued yourself. Because as an agent, there is about 198 things. That's not an arbitrary number. That's a solid number. And if you're not doing that, you're not servicing your clients. 198 things that you're doing for them. So the conversation that I always have, and I always bring it up, this is statutory. You have to have agency representation for your protection. It's a consumer protection document. And oh, by the way, you can choose anybody you want and everything's negotiable. And here's why you need me. And if you're not able to have that 90-second, truly, deeply convicted, this is what I'm bringing to you. And you're so convicted that if they don't sign with you, you're still okay with that, then you need to refine what that is. Because when I get through, I can promise you this. If you don't pick me, you're making a mistake. And here's why. The ability to take the desired outcome of a buyer, work that through a third party, to communicate that to a seller in such a way that the listing agent or the buying agent believes they need to conform and adjust their position to your stated goal, because if they don't, they'll be missing out on the greatest opportunity of their life, is a skill set that you either have or you don't. And you can try to refine it all you want throughout your lifetime, but either you possess the ability to persuade or you do not. And I have that gift.
Well, you certainly do. I can tell that just from talking to you. Now, what do you think about the whole NAR, National Association of Realtors, buyer's agent fee discussion? I've talked to several top producers like yourself, and the general consensus so far is they don't think it will have much difference because they think most smart sellers will continue to pay a buyer's agent fee if they want to get a great agent like you to show your client, to have you show your clients their house.
I concur. I concur with that status. The realities are that numbers don't lie. And with a listing agent and a representation, you're going to have about an 11% increase in your sale. That's statistically across the board. You're going to get 11% more for your property than you would by yourself. And if your conversation centers around the idea that I'm going to charge you 6% for my services and I'm going to share that to incentivize other buyers, but we're going to get 11% more for your house, you'll make 5%. So with me, you'll make 5% more. And without me, you will lose that 11%. And oh, by the way, 7% less is what you're going to sell your house for. So it's an easy conversation if you understand the numbers. And there's nobody that can go through a process of selling a home that is a non-professional and somehow believe because they've Googled it, they can get the job done. Because again, there are 198 things. And if you're in a position to do 198 things and selling a home, you're probably not working and you're going to have an S-curve. The ability to grow and to learn what you need to do to be successful is assuming you can buy a house in disrepair and go fix it up. What's the answer to the people that can do that? It ends up being zero. because it's a bigger task than what you think. And we have been poor in communicating both the value of what I bring and the facts are, okay, if I can get you another $25,000 on top of it, does that really matter? It sounds like I've just met your goal. It's costing you nothing because I'm bringing that to the table. And there's also the dynamic of the buyers coming into the market that's got to be able to afford that, because that does make a difference. So I'm disappointed with NAR's position of settling, but they're lawyers and I'm not. There's the disclaimer. I thought they should have worked that longer and stayed in the game and continued to press that. And I think really the overall look was, what's the cheapest way forward without the long-term investment of a lot of lawyers? And it ended up being a very large number. But in terms of how that translates into the marketplace, the only value that I see that it changes is open houses, right? Got to have a buyer's brokerage coming in July. We have to have that conversation before we can open up the door now, which is fantastic because so many times agents become glorified door openers. And there's no reason to do that. If you understand the business model and you understand how to be successful, you might open up a door, but you'll have the conversation about the buyer's brokerage service agreement. You'll have that signed that night so that in their mind, they have a commodity and they're paying for something and they see the value. And the moment somebody pays for something, they see value. And so now you have to have that conversation before the door is opened. And now they got to sit down over a cup of coffee. Now, we should have been doing this all along because that's the start of the relationship. And we're not transactional. We're relationship driven because we're in the people business. So now open houses, you don't have to have a buyer's broker service agreement. You don't have to have an agent. You just go be the looky-loo that you want to be. So whereas before I didn't see a ton of success in open houses, a lot of looky-loos, a lot of the neighbors, hey, what did you do over time? A few interested parties. I think open houses now are going to be critical. So we're going to have to up our game there. Maybe bring a slice of pie and some punch or something and make it. And listen, let's not miss the opportunity of open houses now. You're not selling the house. You're selling you at the open house. So if you don't have your flyers and you don't have your mortgage company working with you and your mortgage company is not sitting there with you or has some representation, you're not giving refreshments, you're not really taking advantage of the opportunity of presenting you. The house will speak for itself. You've done all the work to bring it to this moment, and now the moment is about you. Sell yourself, because everything we do in real estate, every movement, and there needs to be the understanding of movement of purpose, that we're doing this with intention, with a deliberate forethought for a very specific outcome. If you don't understand that in business, you're never going to be successful, and there's no difference in real estate. And that moment of the open house is about you as an agent and how you want to present. So let's not get too high and mighty of bringing in the younger folks, younger in the industry, to do the open house, because it's still a grand opportunity to show off and to showcase who you are and what you're about.
Well, that's interesting, because there have been a lot of negative doom and gloom stories in the news and podcasts about how the new rules are going to put realtors out of business and cut their fees and so on. But most top producers I talk to, including you, share the same idea that this is not really going to change much because everything's always been negotiable. Good agents like yourselves will always survive and thrive because of what you've been saying so far today. And so most people that I talk to in who are top producers like you don't see this as a threat. And as you mentioned, there's some positives as well.
Yeah, I do think what's going to happen, it's going to take those part-time agents and put them in a position to make a decision. And that decision is going to be, do I want to have a viable, thriving, growing business, or do I just want to keep doing this part-time? And I think the part-timers are at the praxis. That's an economic term. Praxis is where the theoretical and the practical meet. Do you really want to make this a business? Because we've been able to get away with it, especially the last, again, 19, 20, 21, even parts of 22, we're able to get away with a part-time, investment at it. So it's going to make people serious. Do you seriously want a business in real estate? Is this what you want for your life? And if you do, you can call me and I will help you understand how to set up your business and how to be successful and surround you with the support staff that literally costs you nothing. And we will teach you and show you how to be successful in real estate. But you really have to make up your mind. And for those that are those agents that don't want that, they'll move out. And the natural thinning is always a good thing. It's cyclical. It's always been this way. It doesn't matter what the impetus for the clearing of this is. Doesn't matter. It only matters that it happens. So for those that make this their business, we do everything that we've always done. We stay at the fundamental, and there is no such thing as taking my eye off the ball. Let me address that for a minute. The number one statement made from agents that I talk to every single day is my first question, how did you do last year? Well, I didn't do as much because, and then they give me the reason why. And every reason is the same. I took my eye off the ball. No, what you didn't have is a business model, because we work for ourselves, that puts you on a calendar that has you do the daily things, the cold calling that we don't like, the farming that we don't like, the expired listings that we don't like. You have to do that every single day. And wow, we get into real estate because we like the freedom of time. But if you're not responsible with the freedom of time and understanding what your hourly rate is and what you're spending your time on, you'll not be successful in this business for very long. That is the reason why the average real estate agent in the United States sells 5 to 6 homes. And that's why the average real estate agent only nets about $35,000 or $40,000 a year, because it's not a business and therefore they have no business model. But if you will do this correctly and you understand the exit plan about what happens in 20 years after you do this, and the passive or residual income that you have or could have through that period of time, you need to give me a call.
That's right.
And keep telling me, I'll tell you this, you will have your home paid off in 3 years and you will not be having a car payment.
Well, that's awesome. So can you tell me a little bit about what is your daily or weekly success plan that you use to build such a great successful business?
Every single day in our group called Co-Founders, we get together. We started about 3.5 years ago with an agent that owned 3 brokerage houses, won't say who they were, and 2 ancillary satellite offices, 180 agents, parted ways with a 20-year partner, spent a year trying to figure out what that looked like, came upon the model of eXp. We started a group called Co-Founders with 3 people. 3 years later, as of yesterday, we were 656 people. And wow. We stop every morning at 7:30 in what we call the Breakfast Club. 729 culture. You're on the call at 729. And we literally go through training every day and scripting. And we have a great guy that does this. He lives in Thailand, but he's been with us for the entire time. The last 20 years he's been with us. And he has that training. And it's brilliant because it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this, you still need the fundamentals. And if you think you're past scripting or you think you're past having those open conversations where you can be critiqued, you're really cheating yourself, because there's going to be somebody in that conversation. And we have about 100 people every day show up. And it's amazing when you're called upon, as long as you've been doing it, you stop, you pause. You actually think about, how am I doing this? And it's interesting how many bad habits we pick up on. And this, it corrects that. It helps us to understand how to make those adjustments. And it reestablishes us or grounds us back in those fundamentals. From there, 7:30 to 8, 8 always, 8 to 11, I'm on the phones, I'm making dials, calling back, I'm following up, I'm asking folks. And it's always about where you're at. It's how can I help you today, right? How can I help you? Because if you're not concerned about their situation and you're going just off a script, what you're communicating is, I don't care, and this is just a transaction. Now, understand something about selling, because you're really selling your value. In the first 2 minutes, the first 120 seconds of a conversation, The people that you're talking to have already made up their mind whether they can trust you or not. And if they've determined they can't, for whatever their psychological reason is, I don't care how brilliant you are as a salesman, you will never close the deal. They have to trust you. So what does that mean? You must be authentic, you must be sincere, and you must be knowledgeable. And if you are not continually educating yourself every single day, you are cheating yourself and doing a disservice to your client. There is a ton of data that we absorb every day, and you've got to assimilate that and extrapolate that and then communicate that in the most simplest of terms so it's understood in its brevity and in its efficatorial. It produces the intended effect of what data is supposed to do. You take 2 hours to 3 hours every day, and that's what you do. And then you're out in the field doing your showings or doing your follow-ups or planning your signs or coordinating the photography or going to the listing and saying, here's the gardener. Let's put down whatever we got to do to get painted and freshed and really looking nice. So that's a day. And we do that 4 days. And on Friday, I don't do Friday, I don't do Saturday, I don't do Sunday. But you can build yourself to that. And everything we do is purposeful, by design, with intent, and we keep it on schedule. So if you don't have a schedule, you don't have a calendar, and you don't have a list that you're writing, you'll never be able to keep on task. And when you visualize where you want to be in 5 years and you're looking back, write it down. And then go back to it every single day and make sure you're on track. And so I'll just close with this. Steve Jobs said this. He was given a commencement speech at a university in California. And he said, I look in the mirror every day, every single day. And he said, if I were to die tomorrow, would I do today what I have planned scheduled? And if too many days go by that I say no, I make changes. How many days do we go by and we look in the mirror and we waste our time because we don't have a movement of purpose, a deliberate movement through that moment of life? And in the next times we get together, Steve, we'll talk about what time looks like, the conveyor belt of time, and the opportunity that time presents for us. And if we can understand that, we will understand that every single moment of every single day is impregnated with the opportunity to take the latent potential and the giftings that reside inside of you and bring them to fruition, to potentiality, to actuality. So we'll talk about that next time we get together.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me ask you, what kind of lead generating strategies do you use?
Yeah, so again, we're EXP, and I'll just tell you this, if people don't know, we're the largest now in the world brokerage house. 50% of EXP is owned by the agent. Every transaction I do, I get stock in our company. I own, right? We have other resources that I actually own. And within that layer, like all brokerage houses, we have layer upon layer upon layer of the ability to go in and find the listings that are out there. And within co-founders, since we're just a small group within 90,000 agents in 24 countries, that's a big deal. And so I can go. So Lifestyle Living with Mitchell Kaim is in Washington, in Colorado, and soon to be Florida. Why? Because we can go to these different states and operate within them and sell homes. And within our structure, both within co-founders and then on top of that with EXP, we have all the information or the resources available. And we have people 24/7 that's willing to say, where are you at? What are you doing? Let me help you. And I will tell you that everybody that joins with us, if you want, you know, at five homes you want to sell and you want to be at 10, I will help you get there. Even if I give you mine, I will do that. Why? Because I think this model works. I think it's sustainable. I think it's the best thing out there. And it's so good that I'm willing to help you get a sale because I care about you and I care about the people that you're working with.
That's fantastic. Now, you've had a very long, successful career. I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is there one achievement or moment in your career that you're most proud of?
You know, I think, yes. The short answer is yes. And I think the most salient thing I can say to you is the the understanding that I've developed over 25 years of how to really understand the psychology of the person sitting in front of me, and to develop the inherent intrinsic skill that I have to recognize that, but to speak to it in the most appropriate way so that that connection becomes a connection for life, and that I'm touching generations, not just them, but the generation before that individual and the generation behind that. And I think what I'm most proud of is that I've been a student of human behavior. I've been a student in this industry because a home is one of the most valuable things in terms of the nuclear family that you can have. It's where the greatest memories of life are created, and sometimes the most tragic events of life are created. My ability to move into that arena, to such a personal place, and to be able to speak intelligently and give the kind of counsel that's necessary to get folks to move forward in any and every situation of their life, good, bad, indifferent, don't stay here, move forward, and help them through that process, show them what the next steps are, prepare them for the greater things in life, has been my greatest achievement and the thing that I'm most proud of. The transactions come without thinking about it when you focus on them.
Well, that's all very fantastic. I'm sure lots of home buyers, and especially a lot of real estate agents, are going to want to get in touch with you. So tell us now how to get in touch with you.
LifestyleLiving.net. So it's lifestyle-living.net. You can pick up my website there. I'm also at eXp Realty. If you pull up a list of agents, I'll be there. And I can give my number now if that's appropriate.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Telephone direct line to Mitchell. 206-910-3054. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to leave where you're at to get my help. You align with me, we will work together and we'll figure it out. And I'll give you this one last thing, and I know we have to go. There is such thing as a yoke. And in my world, we don't yoke an ox with a donkey. And a yoke looks like an M, and it's a wooden block that sits on the shoulders of the animal. And when you yoke an ox and a donkey, what happens is the ox naturally pulls more of the weight. The donkey's going along thinking he's doing his part. Problem is the weight is unequally distributed, and that yoke begins to wear sores in the shoulders of the ox. Then the fowls of the air come down and start picking at those sores, and the sores become infected. And before you know it, the ox becomes sick and he dies. And the donkey's sitting over there looking, not understanding what's going on, and saying, what are you laying down on the job for? I'm trying to pull this forward. So it's very important who you connect with, because it's inappropriate to connect an ox and an ass. I mean, a donkey. So make sure you're connecting with the right people that have the same vision, that have the same moral construct, and that are really concerned about clients. Yoke with them, pull together, and then two, no longer become two, they become 10. And when you're pulling together, the load is lighter, you're more efficient, and you reach the goals.
Wow, this has been very educational and inspirational. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Steve Teitler. I'm the owner of Best Mortgage. If you know anyone buying or selling a home, refer them to us, because we will give them honest advice you can trust. This is Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Tell your friends. Tell other real estate agents, and we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot, Mitchell.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Thank you for joining us on today's journey through the dynamic world of real estate and mortgages. I'm your host, Steve Teitler, and this has been the Northwest Real Estate Roundup. Don't forget to subscribe for more expert advice, tips, and stories that empower you as a real estate professional. If you have questions or topics you want covered, drop us a line at our website. Until we meet again, here's to your success.